This is Jan Kane, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Monday, October 8th. We continue now with the death notices. The first is Patricia R. Schlosser. Patricia Schlosser, age 70, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away Saturday, October 6th, in her home. She was preceded in death by her parents, one sister, and one brother. Cremation rites will be accorded. Per Patricia's request, there will be no services. The Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home has been entrusted with the care of Patricia, and condolences may be left to her family at www.gracelandfairlawn.com. April Ann Damery Patient, age 67, of Hammond, passed away at 10:17 a.m. Saturday, October 6th, in her home, surrounded by her family and friends. Celebration of life services will be at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the Blue Mound United Methodist Church, with Pastor Kevin Creasel officiating. Burial will be in Bethel Cemetery, Blue Mound. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the church. Memorials are suggested to the Blue Mound United Methodist Church. Reed Funeral Home, Sullivan, is in charge of arrangements. Online condolences may be sent to the family at reedfuneralhome.net. Berta M. Randall, age 96, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, September 29th at Generations at McKinley Place. Homegoing services will be held at 12 noon, Tuesday, October 9th, at Bible Way Pentecostal Church, 1171 North Water Street, with visitation 1 hour before the service. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery. Professional services entrusted to Walker Funeral Service. Shirley Fay Park, age 79, of Auburn, formerly of Sullivan, passed away at 5:23 a.m. Thursday, October 4th, at Auburn Rehabilitation and Health Care Center. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. Monday, October 8th, at the McMullen Young Funeral Home in Sullivan. Visitation will be held from noon to 1:30 Monday at the funeral home. Burial will be in Green Hill Cemetery in Sullivan. Memorials may be made to PAWS, Protecting Animal Welfare Society, 400 West Walnut, Jacksonville, Illinois, 62650. James Roy Flanagan, age 68, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, October 4th, 2018, at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. A service to celebrate and honor Jim's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, October 9th, at Trinity Lutheran Church, 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Monday, October 8th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion. He will be laid to rest at Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek. Memorials may be made to Trinity Lutheran Church. Sharna Mae Reef, age 59, of Decatur, formerly of Chenoa, went home to her Heavenly Father at 7:29 a.m. Thursday, October 4th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Memorial service to celebrate her life will be held at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Decatur on Wednesday, October 10th, from 9:30 to 10:30, followed by a visitation from 1 to 2:45 p.m. at Duffy Pills Memorial Home in Chenoa. Graveside services will be at 3 p.m. at Chenoa Township Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the family of Sharna Reef. Robert G. Smitty, or R.G. Smith, age 86, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away Wednesday, October 3rd, at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, October 10th, at Brittlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur, with visitation 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, October 9th, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park, Harristown, Illinois, with military rites conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Robert Bob L. Kolbeck, age 90, of Decatur, passed away Saturday, September 29th, at Moequa Rehabilitation and Health Care. Mass of Christian burial will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, October 9th, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 Tuesday before the service at the church. Burial will be in Calvary Cemetery in Decatur. William Bill Evan Curry, age 80, of Naples, Florida, passed away suddenly in the early morning hours on Thursday, October 4th. He was born in Granite City, Illinois. Memorial donations may be made in memory of William Evan Curry to the Farm Collaborative at P.O. Box 8064 in Aspen, Colorado, 81612. For online condolences, visit www.fullernaples.com. Wilbur Williams, age 85, of Lincoln, Illinois, passed away at 5:30 p.m. Friday, October 5th, at his residence. Services for Wilbur will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, October 11th, at Frick Calvert Schrader Funeral Home in Lincoln. Visitation will take place from 4 to 7 on Wednesday, October 10th, also at the funeral home. Burial will follow the services at New Union Cemetery, where full military rites will be accorded by the Lincoln American Legion Post No. 263. Memorials may be made to the Lincoln American Legion or to the Lincoln School District No. 27. Cecilia E. Wright, age 92, of Decatur, passed peacefully into eternity Sunday evening at Imboden Creek Living Center. Concelebrated Mass of Christian Burial will be 11 a.m. Monday, October 8th, at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church. Visitation will be 1 hour before the Mass in the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Good Samaritan Inn of Decatur, Shriners Hospital for Children, or the donor's choice. Della Cole, age 79, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, October 3rd, at Generations at McKinley Place. A memorial service to celebrate her life will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, October 10th, at the Moran and Gerbel Funeral Home. There will be no visitation, and burial will take place at a later date. June Marie Bledsaw, age 96, of Decatur, passed away Friday, October 5th, in her residence with family by her side. Private family graveside services will be held at Fairlawn Cemetery in Decatur. Kimberly Ann Perry Lance, age 37, of Lecanto, Florida, formerly of Decatur, passed away September 27th. Visitation will be held from noon to 1, Monday, October 8th, at Brown Funeral Home in Lecanto, Florida, with a celebration of life beginning at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Inverness, Florida. A celebration of life will be held in Illinois at a later date. Camille S. Terracina, age 55, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, October 3rd, at her residence. Cremation rites will be accorded. Private family services will be held at a later date. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home will be handling the arrangements. Condolences and memories may be shared with the family in care of Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Homes at www.brentlingerandearl.com. Now we turn to a story whose title is Why Won't Grass Grow on Eisenhower's Football Field? Decatur Schools Hire Consultant to Find Out. The byline is Valerie Wells. A Chicago consultant has been hired by the Decatur School District to study ongoing drainage issues with the Eisenhower High School football field. There have been problems with grass growing on the field since its topsoil was removed and replaced as part of the Eisenhower renovation project that concluded in 2014, officials have said. The district did not answer multiple requests for comment for this story. In January, the school board allowed more time to work with two contractors to fix problems with the field and avoid litigation if possible. The agreement with Decatur-based BLDD Architects and Missouri-based Nicholas & Associates, both firms that worked on the renovation project, allowed them to work with the school district to fix drainage issues without eating up time on the statute of limitations for the district to file a lawsuit if a solution wasn't reached. At the September 23rd meeting, the board approved a contract with Smith Group, a consulting firm in Chicago, to study the football field and identify issues that may contribute to the problems. To identify the problem, the firm will evaluate a number of factors, including the chemical makeup of the soil, what kind of traffic the field gets, maintenance and layout of the field, and drainage and irrigation systems. Smith Group plans to begin with a study of design drawings and specifications. The study approved by the school board would not exceed $7,000, paid at an hourly rate plus expenses. Our next story comes from Milliken. Milliken inducted 4 new members to the Milliken Athletic Hall of Fame during a ceremony on Sunday. The 2018 induction class was women's soccer standout Allison Horn, class of 2011, football and baseball player Tony McClain, 1992, football player Charles Edward Ed Stanley, 1980, and softball player Tessie Taylor, 2001. Here's a look at each of the inductees. Allison Horn. Horn of Chicago holds several spots in Milliken's record book. As the Big Blues' most valuable offensive player in 2007 and again in 2010, she was named to the All-CCIW second team her freshman year and advanced to All-CCIW first team status in her junior and senior years. During her final game on Milliken's home field, the Big Blue beat Elmhurst and advanced to the CCIW tournament, one of Horn's most memorable moments at Milliken. Her school records include a tie for most goals in a season, 16, most goals in a career, 53, a tie for most assists in a game, 4, most assists in a season, 12, most assists in a career, 31, most points in a season, 41, and most points in a career, 137. Horn also holds all the Milliken records for performance in CCIW play, including a tie for most goals in a season, 3, most goals in a career, 9, most assists in a season, 4, most assists in a career, 10, most points in a season, 8, and most points in a career, 28. During her time at Milliken, Horn majored in English with an emphasis in journalism and served as sports editor for the Decaturian, where she also contributed to other sections of the newspaper. She received a master's in journalism from DePaul University in 2013. Now the social media and marketing manager for Telluride.com, Telluride Alpine Lodging, Horn lives in Chicago, where she enjoys attending White Sox and Blackhawks games. She is engaged to Edward Bills. Tony McClain. A two-sport athlete for the Big Blue, at the time of his graduation, McClain's name appeared second in Milliken's football record book for career rushing yards, with 2,698. Now, 26 years later, he remains in the top 10 at 6th place. His name is also in the baseball record book under most hits in a game. McClain had 5 hits in a game against Augustana in April of his senior year. Although 6 other alumni have also achieved 5 hits in a game, no one has topped that number yet. While at Milliken, McClain majored in communications. Now a sales rep for Nestle, McClain, or T-Mac, also serves as the color commentator for high school and Milliken football games on ESPN Radio 1050, The Fan. He has also helped coach JFL football with his fraternity brother, Lauren Sturdivant. Tony McClain and his wife, Carrie, live in Decatur. He has 3 sons, Dallas, Caden, and Terrence. Ed Stanley. Stanley of Seattle, Washington, was a 4-year starter at outside linebacker for the Big Blue from 1976 through 1979. Because larger universities considered him too small to play in that position, he was available to become an integral part of Milliken's defensive line. He received numerous accolades during his junior and senior years, including being named Most Valuable Defensive Back, earning CCIW Defensive Player of the Week honors, being named to the CCIW All-Conference Defensive Team, and receiving an AP All-American Honorable Mention. In addition, he was a member of Milliken's CCIW Championship Team 3 years in a row, 77, 78, 79, and was named to the NCAA Division III All-American Second Team in 1979. A business administration major at Milliken, Stanley was selected to be a resident assistant in Hessler Hall in 1978. After working 2 years in banking, Stanley joined the Army in 1982. During his career in the service, he was sent to Iraq twice in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and was part of the Stryker Combat Brigade in Baghdad. Stanley served 26 years in the Army before retiring to Washington State in 2008 as an E-9 Sergeant Major. He earned a master's degree in business administration with a concentration in human resource management in 2004 and now works for the Department of Veterans Affairs in Seattle as a military service coordinator. He is also a licensed real estate agent. Stanley has 5 daughters, Tiana, Alicia, Jermella, Shamika, Naomi, and 7 grandchildren. Tessie Taylor. Taylor of Champaign played third base for the Big Blue softball team all 4 years of her Milliken tenure. She served as team captain in 2000 and 2001 and was named to the CCIW All-Conference team in 1999 and 2001. During her senior season, she was named team MVP and also won the Lady Blue Award for softball. She has held several individual softball records, 2 of which still stand to this day. Her previous records include most doubles in a career, 40, a record that stood for 15 years, and most assists in a season, 119 in 45 games, another 15-year record. She and 2 teammates, Dixie Brazelton and Tricia McKeefe, still own the record for most games played in a season, 45, set in 2001. Taylor shares the record for most doubles in a season, 14, which Taylor reached in 2000, with Stacy Sparks, who blazed the trail in 1991. Taylor's teammate, Tricia McAfee, matched Taylor's and Sparks' record in 2001. While a Milliken student, Taylor majored in business management with a concentration in human resource management. She also played JV volleyball for 2 years, played several intramural sports, and served on the University Center Board and the Senior Class Committee. After graduating, Taylor served as a volunteer assistant softball coach for the Big Blue in 2002-03. Currently, Taylor is Director of Compliance for University of Illinois Athletics, serving on the Division of Intercollegial Athletics Diversity and Inclusion Committee and the DIA Mission Statement Activation Committee. She also developed the Illini Executive Academy, a 2-year program that provides selected DIA staff members with an enhanced exposure to the administration and management of intercollegiate athletics and helps them gain the additional experience needed for future opportunities within the industry. She also served on the committee that produced the inaugural DIA Diversity and Inclusion Summit for all student athletes and staff. In 2017, Taylor was awarded the Notable Ally Award by the University of Illinois Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Ally Network, which acknowledges a staff member's exemplary demonstration of allyship to the LGBTQ community. Taylor and her wife, Elena Hirsch Taylor, live in Champaign with their son, Tegan Taylor, age 3. Our next article is entitled, Decatur Anti-Abortion Supporters Seek to Change Minds If Only One at a Time. The byline is Tony Reed. Standing up for what you believe gets plenty of thumbs up, waves of support, and honking horns, and a few far less friendly gestures and shouts of abuse. For the 200-strong participants in the annual Right to Life Decatur-Macon County Show of Strength to protest abortion Sunday, taking the rough with the smooth was a price well worth paying. And they certainly got plenty of attention lined up along busy El Dorado Street near St. Patrick Church, which served as their base of operations. How many hearts and minds their anti-abortion signs might have changed was anybody's guess, although sign waiver Sherry Slade would settle for just 1. There are a lot of women in that situation, deciding what to do about a pregnancy, and maybe this was the one time they decided to drive down El Dorado and God spoke to them, said Slade, 47, who lives in Warrensburg. I hope we can save at least 1 baby today. She was standing with Sharon Shilosky of Decatur, and both women didn't like the idea of being described as protesters. They saw their public display of anti-abortion signs, staged from 2:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., as more of an informational picket, designed to make people stop and think as they hurry about their daily lives. I think what we're doing brings awareness, added Shilosky. Many national commentators see the arrival of Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court as possibly opening the way to changing federal law on abortion, But Diana Shipley isn't convinced that's the ultimate goal. Shipley, the director of Right to Life Decatur-Macon County, said the crucial, longer-term struggle is for hearts and minds. Overturning Roe v. Wade wouldn't be enough, she said, referring to the landmark Supreme Court case that legalized abortion. But if you can convince people that abortion is taking the life of an individual, if we can stop that by changing the mindset, that is the better longer-term outlook for us. Next is a story from Paxton entitled, Scene of 1979 Shootout Near Paxton That Killed Three to Be Renamed. An Illinois overpass will be renamed in honor of three men, including two law enforcement officers, who were killed decades ago in a shootout with a Michigan man. State Trooper Michael McCarter, Paxton Patrolman William Case, and Donald Weiss, who was riding with McCarter, his brother-in-law, died in the April 1979 shooting south of Paxton. Paxton Patrolman Larry Hale was injured. The News Gazette reports the overpass along Interstate 57, where the shooting occurred, will be dedicated October 22nd as the McCarter Case Weiss Hale Memorial Overpass. The shooting occurred after McCarter pulled over three vehicles for speeding. Monroe Lampkin of Union Pier, Michigan, was later convicted of three counts of first-degree murder. Prosecutors said he was traveling with his family to their grandmother's funeral when they were pulled over, and Lampkin opened fire. Our next article is titled, Insurance Rates Stabilizing on Affordable Care Act Exchange for Illinois. The byline is Dean Olson from the State Journal Register. Illinoisans shopping this fall on the state's online health insurance marketplace for 2019 coverage will pay the smallest average annual rate increases in at least 3 years. In fact, many consumers may see a decrease in rates, Jennifer Hammer, director of the Illinois Department of Insurance, told the State Journal Register on Friday. Consumers will see average 4% increases in monthly premiums for silver plans and 6% increases for bronze and gold plans on healthcare.gov, Hammer said. Those increases are based on rates submitted to the state by insurance companies that plan to participate in Illinois' health insurance exchange. The rate changes don't reflect federal subsidies for monthly premiums that are provided through the Affordable Care Act for people with incomes up to 400% of the federal poverty level, Hammer said. More information will be released by the state this week on rates for health plans. For health plans that consumers can choose during this year's open enrollment period for the Illinois Marketplace. Open enrollment will run from November 1st through December 15th for plans that take effect January 1. The more modest increases indicate that Illinois' health insurance market is stabilizing as part of a trend being seen across the country as insurers get better at predicting what it will cost to insure people seeking coverage through state-level insurance exchanges, Hammer said. When insuring the subsidized population, they're starting to understand how sick those people are, she said. We're excited that consumers will finally have some relief after facing years of average double-digit rate increases. More choice for consumers will come with the addition of a fifth insurance company that will sell health plans on the exchange, Hammer said. Gunderson Health Plan will join Celtic Insurance Company, also known as Ambetter, Health Alliance Medical Plans, Cigna, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois as options on the state's online marketplace this fall, she said. The Springfield area will be served by two companies on the exchange, Health Alliance and Blue Cross and Blue Shield. The rate situation will offer a welcome respite for consumers, but it's unclear how much of a difference the new rates will make overall, Hammer said. That's because many people who don't qualify for subsidies still find plans on the exchange unaffordable, a result of structural flaws in the Affordable Care Act, she said. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, who controls the Department of Insurance, has said he likes the ACA's protections for people with pre-existing conditions and the law's requirement that allows children to remain on their parents' employer-sponsored insurance until age 26. But the governor said the ACA has shown dramatic weaknesses and flaws. In the 2017 open enrollment period for plans that began in January 2018, 334,979 people in Illinois selected a Marketplace plan, according to the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The averaged unsubsidized premium for Illinoisans on the exchange was $644, though 8 out of 10 enrollees received federally mandated assistance that reduced their cost of premiums or other out-of-pocket costs, such as deductibles, copayments, or coinsurance. For enrollees benefiting from that assistance, their average premium was $135. Hammer said she doesn't know whether rates proposed for 2019 would be even more favorable for consumers if President Donald Trump and Congress hadn't made certain decisions in 2017. The Republican president used his executive authority last year to stop federal payments to insurance companies. Those payments, set in motion by the 2010 health care law passed while Democrat Barack Obama was president, had been used to subsidize insurance companies' costs for offering cost-sharing assistance. Federal subsidies continue to flow to insurance companies for premium assistance. And the GOP-controlled Congress last year rescinded federal tax penalties associated with the ACA's individual insurance mandate. The changes, along with constant Republican threats to repeal the ACA, were part of actions to sabotage the law by politicians who then said the law was flawed and imploding, according to Stephanie Altman, Director of Healthcare Justice for the Sargent Shriver National Center on Poverty Law. Altman said she was happy to hear about premium rates stabilizing on the Illinois Exchange for 2019. The stabilization could have happened 2 years earlier if not for the efforts of Trump and Republicans in Congress, she said. The actions in Washington, D.C. prompted nervous insurers to institute rate increases most keenly felt by people who don't qualify for premium subsidies or cost-sharing assistance, Altman said. Hammer said the Department of Insurance operates getcoveredillinois.gov to help state residents be wise consumers as they shop on the exchange and learn about the ACA-subsidized expansion of Medicaid eligibility and other insurance options. Those options, she said, include what are known as short-term limited-duration health plans, the terms of which have been expanded by Trump. ACA supporters have criticized the president for expanding the potential time period those plans can cover, because the plans are allowed to exclude certain health conditions from coverage. A bill in the Illinois General Assembly that would have limited the terms of those plans was vetoed by Rauner this year. Hammer said insurance department officials will conduct a statewide tour in village halls and public libraries to educate consumers during the open enrollment period. We know that purchasing health insurance is extremely confusing, and we are there to help, she said. Hammer said she will encourage consumers to shop around and utilize the tools available to them to be educated about the product that they're purchasing. This has been Jan Kane with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Monday, October 8th. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a great day.